much to have, so much, God. We are so grateful, so grateful. You give us a hall of fame and faith chapter in Hebrews that just exalts your name and speaks of your majesty and speaks of your greatness, speaks of your mercy, speaks of your kindness, speaks of what it's like to go through and endure. And that changes everything, Lord. And Father, verse 39 in that chapter, because you're everything, says, and all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive the promises, what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Lord, you remind us, because you're everything. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who've been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. In the book of Hebrews, as we're singing this, and it goes on, this chapter 12, so strong, so encouraging, so explanatory, really, when we're trying to understand the love of the Lord, the love of God, which brings us to a place of so desiring life in the Spirit, so desiring righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost to overtake our lives in Romans 14:17. to take us over so that when we sing, as we sing in the presence of God, that we are rejoicing in who he is. Because the Lord says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But we must believe that he is who he says he is, who he says he is. And then he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Think about that. Think about that for a moment. So it's with great joy in my heart to say that we in this family contend for deep love for and in Jesus. Deep love for him. Deep love for you, Jesus, above anything. Even above your promises, so I can have a good life? No, I want to know you, Jesus, and whatever comes my way, I will stand for you in righteousness, and peace will reign, and joy will be in that house, my house, your house, and that kind of joy is unspeakable, and that's why Jesus endured the cross, for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. Somebody that was completely without sin, our God, became sin. Every icky, wicked, terrible thought, desire, action became inside of him. And he was perfect, sinless, wonderful. How can we not be joyful? How can we not be peaceful? How can we not live a life of righteousness? But that's the Holy Spirit in it, within. And anything less than that shrinks the faith that he's given us. This is a day, I believe, that the Lord is going to establish us in deeper ways in our own personal faith in Jesus, for him. He's going to wreck us in that area because he's given everybody a measure of faith. And he says, walk in it. Walk in that faith. Children need to learn that, receive that. As we teach it, they'll catch it. As we model it, they'll receive it. But we need to be children of the Most High God that way. I was so excited on, I think it was Tuesday. I'm always excited on Tuesday. Hey. There was this kind of strange time, I think it was Tuesday, where the joy of the Lord broke out in a new way, where people were exhorted to pick up a microphone and just sing out to him, had to step out of personal comfort zones. And there it wasn't just a pocket, it was most everyone in the church. It was really cool. And so the ones who don't think they have the voices to sing, you know, in a microphone, were given a microphone or took a microphone or whatever, and they just sang out. It was so beautiful. Jesus, you're great. Jesus, you're real. Thank you for my wife, whatever it was. We all know. It was so good. But you know what happened at that time when there was a release of the faith inside? There was a release of joy inside. There was a release of attention on the King. Your song, your individual song for the Lord, of the Lord, was so strong. I was singing about President Trump and just blessing him, just from my heart up here. Andy and I were up here at the end after all you guys, and singing also over Sunitha and Pastor Prabhaka and Jonina and Cherry in India at Rajamundry. But when I got home, I wanted to tell you, here's what happened. Do you want to put that picture up? Because we were in this special time on Tuesday, okay? And I thought, God, do you want me to show a cruddy picture of pain? And it was like, not really at the moment. Because you have to explain all this, and that's not where we were going. But I just got to show you this. Okay, the one laying down is Sumati, and she and Prabhaka, These are pastors, and they got in a wreck in India. They've been really stepping out in faith. They've been really stepping out to be able to expand Christianity in a Hindu place, and dangerously so. So this motorbike came around the corner and hit them both, knocked them down. That's not Jesus, for sure. So Shanti in the white on the bed, or Pastor Prabhaka, he broke a couple bones in his arm and all that. But he was out preaching the gospel. It's not like he was. These things happen to believers and unbelievers. So these people are living righteous lives, peaceful lives, joy in the Holy Ghost lives. Okay, they're going after Jesus, really. Not just going after a comfortable life and what they want to do someday for Jesus. They're thinking of Jesus wholeheartedly right now. And so Sumati has been told she's got this stuff around her waist that's like a plaster of Paris. And she has to lay flat on this makeshift bed for 35 days after she'd been released from the hospital. She broke her spine. So she couldn't move her head at all. And so for days, she was getting down because not only couldn't she move her head, she became really dizzy. So she's laying there in all this wretched pain and all that. And Shanti had all this pain from his arm. He's able to get up and move out and stuff, but pain in the shoulder and stuff. And God's dealing with them and their faith and everything else, and they're learning more about healing. And, you know, we're all about Jesus, Jehovah Rapha, for sure. So prayed and sang out the prayer. I get home, and there's connection with them, and they say Sumati, for the first time, is able to move her head, and it was 50% change. 50%. Then the next day was 75%. This is all coming from that night, and they know it. They know it's from our prayers. They don't know how, but they know that God was doing something extra at that time. Who can figure? And for him, he said it was 50%, then it was 40% for him. This is his, you know, his mind is looking at it that way. Then 20%, okay? So down for her, I haven't talked to her in a day or so, but it was down to 20 or less percent where she could move and be free. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what God was doing in her spine at the same time? And I'm not sure where it is now, but I just know he's going to complete that work. And he's using us across the nation, across the ocean for that. So cool. So I thank God for the crazy time on Tuesday. And it was what God was doing at that moment. And he was ramping up to get to that point. Because Jamie didn't know what she was doing at that time from talking to her. Not to the degree of what God was doing. So I just want to thank God for that. And also, I want to set the stage for something that's coming up this week with that in mind. The Lord's all about renewal and revival, isn't he? He wants us to wake up, and he wants people to come into the kingdom. And so anything that will cause us to not wake up or to start sleeping so that we're not as wild and crazy and fiery for Jesus as we were before. He wants that to change. That's just how he is. When you read the scriptures and you're very in tune in what he says, he's not messing around. So Jesus, when I started this out, I was talking about Jesus and joy. Jesus is not just saying, live a nice life, I hope it's fun, get as many of my promises as you can, and then it'll be good when you go to see me in heaven someday. Although he wants us to receive promises as well. Who can figure? How do you understand this? How do you understand Jesus? You get to know him. 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 If we don't know him intimately, really intimately, and not growing in that, then we're still more centered around ourselves. And we can sing songs and we can dance around and we can do all kinds of things that make us feel really close and good at the moment. But there are sacrifices. Jesus sacrificed for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. He endured. It's like, what did you endure? So I don't have to endure? Not like you did. We couldn't. But he endured. So if he tells us, guys, I'm going to ask Brenda to come up and share something here. If he tells us to take up our crosses daily, deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, it better be for joy, don't you think? There better be an outcome, don't you think? That he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What do you think he's giving us? What do you think he's releasing? What does that mean? Joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And there's an order. It's a stair step. It's like this, okay? Righteousness, peace, and joy is a result in the Holy Ghost. And that's our measuring stick also. So when we're living righteously, peace reigns. Peace comes. And then joy is the byproduct. It's not weird. It's God. Real joy. Real joy. Real joy. So we have an opportunity this week at Malone University to take another step. And I'm going to ask Brenda to come on up for a second. We have a great team out there, Peter, and heading up that team with, how many are on the Malone team? You guys are amazing. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being there and what you're doing. But the Lord is saying in this hour, you asked me for nations. Do you believe nations can be saved in a day? Do you want them? And we sing out, yes, God, I saw them too. Yeah, give me the nations. Although I'm too busy to go overseas because it doesn't fit my own schedule. For real. I mean, really, think about that. Think about what's God requiring of us? What does he ask? What is he looking for? However, sometimes we do go, and sometimes we do have that same passion and desire and heart, and God makes a way. But faith is involved in all of these things that we're talking about. That's what I'm talking about, a lot of different things. This week, there's something that's going to happen. It's going to be on the Malone campus, in addition to everything you guys do during the week, which is thank you so much for the life groups. You guys are amazing. But we're going to have a prayer table there, Brenda is the last one who would want to say, I'm in charge of a prayer table. That's not who she is. That's not what I'm saying. That's not why I'm asking her to come up here. I want her to explain to you what Dawn Treaders is and how this might fit into that and some things, because we've been brainstorming in the spirit, praying about things, not just Brenda, but others. God, what do you want to do? Some of us have been to Malone, gone to Malone. Some of us have been to Mount, gone to Mount. Kent State, Stark State, what do you want to do on the campuses right now? What's on your heart right now? Well, I'm not that age. Well, I'm not that age, but it's on my heart right now. So that's a good sign. It's on God's heart right now, okay? But I want you to hear about Dawn Treaders and listen. Listen with your spiritual ears before we release kiddos.
So Dawn Treaders was just birthed out of the Lord just putting on my heart and on others' hearts just to really seek a breakthrough on the campus. He really just put on the heart to sow 40 days in for a revival for the campus. And so on Monday mornings at 6:30, we meet on the campus, and we've been going, and I've been amazed at the people who show up because it's 6:30 in the morning on campus. And it's so for those of you who have been coming, thank you so much, because I know it's been such a sacrifice. Many of us are not morning people. I think most of us actually are not morning people. And most of us have been walking through the cold and through the rain. And even on those days, the Lord has like opened up buildings for us where they should be locked. And like we're like, oh my goodness, there's a door open for the dorm. And we kind of go into the dorm. We don't go the whole way into the dorm, just into the, you know, entryway or whatever. But we're able to go in and stay out of the cold and still pray. But in the midst of that, we've also seen visions the Lord has been releasing for strategy on how to reach the campus. And one of those things was to have this prayer table. And a number of times I was seeing pictures of this table and explaining it to the rest of the team. And Troy was just like, oh, that sounds like a prayer table. We've done those at other campuses, but not Malone yet. And I'm like, okay, well, that's really cool. And had a picture of one of the team members even handing out. At first, it was just like cups of hot cocoa or something. I'm just like, oh, that's really practical. That's really loving. But then another time that we prayed, we saw it was like cups of fire. And I'm like, oh, that's okay, Lord. So what you gonna do? And then one time we were even praying in one of the dorms inside, staying warm one time. And there was even, it was like on a brick, there was something after I shared. Do you guys remember what it said? It said something like fireworks at the table. It was something so random. I I don't remember. It said something like fireworks at the table, and as we were even praying about it, I'm like, oh, Lord, that's unusual. That's weird, but thank you. And so the Lord has been opening up amazing doors of favor with the leadership at Malone and building bridges and connections there. And so we think this is just one of many opportunities that we're going to have to be able to go onto campus in more strategic ways, more full ways. On Wednesday, we're going to be meeting from 4:30 to 6:30 at a prayer table that will be outside of the cafeteria, where students will be coming and going. We're going to invite them to the Edge, which will be following the prayer time. We're going to be inviting them to the ski weekend. We're also going to be holding a raffle for a student and a friend to come expense paid to the ski weekend for a chance to win, to raffle it off there, and to hand out some candy treats and whatnot, just simple, and to offer prayer and just to see what the Lord's going to do. At this point, we have no students who have agreed yet to come alongside and join in some of the leadership, but I really just believe in prayer that that can shift, even now, just as we pray that out. So if you are one of the Edge team people, one of the John Treaders, and you have time in those time slots to be able to come and be a part of that, come see me afterwards. I'd love to just like have a sign up and know who's coming when and who's available. We don't want to have maybe, you know, an overwhelming amount, like, but we'd like to make sure that it's staffed the entire time. So if that's your heart, just please come see me, and let's just, if we can just pray off for that right now, and just, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for your amazing plans for Malone. We thank you, Father, for your fire that is coming to that place. And we thank you, Father, for even though the students might be resistant right now or just be under a spirit of apathy, I thank you, Father, that you break that off right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that you're raising up people who will burn for you in that place. I thank you, Father, that there's going to be fire spreading on that campus in increasing measures. The fire is going to go out to the nations, that you're going to raise up a missionary force from that kingdom place, Lord. That it's Christ's kingdom first is their motto there, Father, and so we call that in fullness in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity, Father, the strategy you've given us in the spirit, Father, to be there at John Treaders, to be there at this prayer table, Lord. And I just pray right now, Father, that you would call in those who are meant to be there, Father. We pray for your anointing from the beginning to the end on that event, Lord. And we pray that many students, faculty, staff, anybody who's there, Father, would just be touched deeply by your presence, Father, that you continue to change the atmosphere. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes we cry when the Holy Spirit's moving, which is good. This week, I believe the Malone students will be drawn by the joy inside of each one of us as they see, I don't know, they might be a little weird, but they're different, I don't know, but people will be drawn. People will be drawn. So this is our goal, to walk in joy, to walk through with endurance what God has for us, for endurance to be increasing in us so that we can see the bigger picture and then do something other than what we're doing before, even now, okay? There's a 1 minute, 50-some second little clip about praying for colleges and universities on campuses on a different day, but this is our heart anyway, so let's watch this so the kids can get a glimpse too.
There are 4,706 colleges and universities around the U.S., and there are 21 million students across the nation. That's 21 million of us asking,
what's my purpose?
Where am I going?
Can I even make it?
Why is it that 44% of us
experience depression?
1 out of 10 of us
will consider suicide.
And 70% of believers
will stop pursuing their faith in college.
We know that prayer is a powerful tool.
So imagine what could happen if 2 of you pray, or 20, or 200. Or 2 million.
Now more than ever, we need your united prayer.
Would you pray for me?
Would you pray for me?
Would you pray for me?
Thank you.
Adopt one or more campuses and commit to pray for them this February on Collegiate Day of Prayer.
So we're participating in that in spirit and heart already. So this is an event. This is who we are. So I'm just encouraging you to add this to your prayer time with your spouse, with your friends, by yourself, so that we're really on the cutting edge of what God has for us in this season, okay? Holy Clubs is increasing. Holy Clubs is an opportunity for people to get closer to the heart of Jesus and to see what he says about things in the scripture. Some of us might have a little different impression of what we think it is. Oh, it's just another group. No, it's not just another group. It's going somewhere together in the spirit through the word. And it's a prayer group, a different kind. So we just praise God for that. We're going to see what he's going to do. There's many different tools and ways, but this is one that is really, really something we believe that God's doing to change us on the inside and the way we look at him. And that will spill out and people will be attracted to who we carry even more than we know, because we really need to know him and know his word very powerfully. Amen. And all these little guys and girls, that's going to be their portion. That's their portion right now. With that in mind, we're starting something new, Valentine's Day, this Tuesday. And for the name right now, we're connecting with God. It's called God Connect. And we don't have all the things worked out, the bugs, if you call them bugs, because we have to have strategies to set things up in order and everybody knows what everyone's doing. And we haven't gotten all that far yet. But we do know that in February, we've got two beautiful worship leaders in our midst who've stepped out and said, let me help right there. And what we're going to do, the first hour on Tuesdays, okay, on the second and fourth, first hour on Tuesdays, the second and the fourth Tuesdays, right now. Love to have it go all the way to the fourth, all four of them. Love to have all the children in here worshiping in abandon with all of us on Tuesdays. So this is a step into even greater depths of the presence of God. So it's not a babysitting thing. It's not you come, drop your kid, you go to Starbucks, not like that. So if you feel that that's something for your child and you want to encourage your child to come, is zero to 10 is what we're doing right now. And Jamie's going to start it off this Tuesday, and Pastor Bill's going to take the next Tuesday in February. And then some of us are going to Brazil, so we're going to try to figure that out. If you're interested and you want to help in some way, I ask that you see me personally, because we're trying to put this together, and obviously that's going to affect or could affect how we do worship up here as far as scheduling and all that. And we do care about that. We do. But we want to let the Lord say, just step out and do it. That's really how we started Kingdom Bible School in Africa. We didn't have a building. We didn't have our curriculum. We had a heart that were burning. And somebody said, why don't you just do it? Step out and do it. And that someone at that point, because I was just kind of like, Lord, we just got, Pastor Jose and I were walking in the bush one day. And that's what he said. He goes, why don't you just do it? And I looked at him, I started laughing, going, well, right. So we did. And it's been glorious every year, and God has built. And so that's what this is, and I don't know where it's going to go, but just really asking worship leaders, people in worship, to come and help us. So it'll be hands-on. We need people to help with the little ones who are trying to figure out what's going on back there, because it won't be the way it was on those two Tuesdays. So we're asking for more people. It's not just that you're leading the worship, but that you're willing to help with the children, so we need you. And if you're interested to help, if you would see me today, would be great. And just say, I don't know, but I'm willing to help. Okay? And then we'll figure out what that's supposed to look like. So thank you. Just for the sake of the Lamb's reward, we believe, for the little children. So God bless all the little kids going to Kingdom Land right now. God bless you. God bless you. Run and have a great time in Jesus' name. Amen. What is that? I could have done it. All right. Well, I'm excited today. I'm going to show a video. Woohoo! So I think it's good. I think it's timely. I'm going to wait till some of the parents get back. Thanks, guys. I am so excited. Yeah, I was reminded today, or last night, actually, that there are scrolls in heaven, that there are books in heaven. They have our names on them. When you go into the council chambers, maybe many of you, many of us have had visions or pictures, like, what is that scroll? What is that book? What's that saying? It's in the Bible, it tells us that. But I was reminded again to bring this up. And so, you know, I thought to myself, Lord, this is something that all of us need to be reminded of, that our days are numbered and our days are in the Lamb's Book of Life, okay? Our names are there, but so is God's plan for us, because he has plans for us, plans to give us hope in a future and to prosper us, not to harm us, right? So we know that even if there is suffering in our life, that he has a plan. Isn't that interesting? He has a plan. So if we want to know him and the power of his resurrection and share in the fellowship of his suffering, three parts to Philippians 3:10, and we have to understand what that is. It's like, Lord, I'm not looking, please let me suffer, in the sense of, you know, bring it on. We don't want to invite darkness. But if we must, and that's God's way for us to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that's the way. Jesus walked Via Dolorosa, and he walked the way of suffering for us. Not so that we would never suffer, but so that we would have communion with him. Think about that. I remember way back in the beginning of Frontline, I don't remember what retreat this was. We did all these young adult retreats for so many years, and we had dog tags. And who remembers those? There were little silver dog tags. You remember that, T? And it had Philippians 3:10 on it. I was so excited, got all these made. We should do it again. And people were wearing these for a long time. They were very cool. It's like about this big silver dog tags. And it was Philippians 3:10. Do you think God forgets that? No, he doesn't. Because believe me, that was taught and explained and released and received. It wasn't just, oh, I got a cool dog tag, man. That's really awesome. Went to a retreat. No. There was impartation. There was teaching. There were opportunities. And God says, I don't forget, do you? Do you forget? Maybe. So I really believe, my prayer is, Lord, anybody who had those dog tags, bring it back to them. Bring it back. Show them what you were doing then, what you're doing now. Take it deeper, whatever it is, because you never forget. You forget our sin, but you never forget what you've deposited, what you've done. And the Lord is always building us, taking us from glory to glory, right? So I was really excited about that. So I woke up this morning and I said, Lord, whatever your plan is for me today, I'm so excited because you have a plan. It's on a scroll. It's in a book. I'm not a robot, but I am a slave. I am a slave to love. I am a slave to you because I want to hear from you. I don't want my own agenda. How many times do we hear that and then we immediately tune it out? We tune it out. We tune it out. Pastor Bill preached on it last week, and I guarantee us all together that that's been tuned out by some, maybe all, maybe me. I need to listen to it again. And it wasn't you can't, you can't, you can't. It was you can, you can, you can. But lay down. Let it be him. Lay down. If we think we really are laying down and we're doing it, we're doing what Jesus says and he's really leading and guiding, I believe he'll confirm that. Not just that we're peaceful and we're comfortable, but that I believe he's going to show us that in his word, and it's going to be the full counsel of his word, not just one aspect of his word. We're going to be able to take those harder verses and go, okay, what does that mean? So when I said, Lord, I want to know everything there is to know about healing and deliverance so many decades ago, that's what I want. And he goes, are you sure? Are you willing to count the cost and pay the price? He spoke that to me. Oh, yes, I don't know what that means, but sure, because you're Jesus and my faith is strong, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? Is it strong when we get in an accident or we have a sickness or we have a disappointment or a loved one dies? You know, think about all the things that happen to us, right? Difficult things in our life. Is it that strong? Are we still, nevertheless, Lord, no matter what, I'm with you. I am with you. I am with you because I want to know you more, because you might be trying to, you're allowing something. Not that you bring the devil at me, do you? But you allow me to grow in endurance. You tell me, what does endurance mean? Okay, we can give just, we could have Cameron come up and tell us how, what it's like to lift weights, get big muscles and all of that. And that's all true. And you go, oh yeah, that's really great. You lift weights, you get big muscles, and then you can bat better and run faster and jump higher and, you know, all that. And he's good at that. And we've talked about that in premarital. It's like, yeah, it's true. But the Lord wants us to really grow in spiritual endurance. He really does. How does he do it? How does he help us grow in spiritual endurance? He wants us to understand his nature. So as we laid down, 2 weeks ago when I was preaching up here, I was talking about laying down, but I was talking about seeking the face of God. What a fun message to preach. Seek the face of God. Yes, of course, I'll spend my time seeking the face of God. Do you know, when we are walking in the extreme joy that I was talking about before, as we're seeking the face of God, there may be some challenges in that that are exactly what God wants us to face. He wants us to go through and get to the other side. He wants us to face those challenges so that that endurance really is taking root in ways that are unshakable. Read the rest of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm telling you, so good. Read Romans chapter 12. So good. Think about, what, Jesus, why am I here? I've been doing this a long time. It's like, Lord, doesn't everyone want to see this happen in their lives? I do. He says, do you really? Yes, Lord, I'm going deeper. I'm dying more. Really? Are you in joy? Is your faith strong as you're suffering, or what you think is suffering? Where is your joy level? It's like, it's coming, Lord. And then I look at others around and I read the Bible and I go, wow, that's the kind of joy that you're talking about. That's from you. That turns people off, honestly. Some of you might not want to come back hearing that. It's like, oh, I don't enjoy. Joy is fun. No, joy is not fun. Joy is deep and joy is a spirit. And it produces something in us that is unshakable, unmovable, and it grows. And we can have fun. And there's crazy places for the expression of that joy. This is one of the houses that believes that that's cool and it's good and it's right. And I believe that's absolutely on target. So that makes it fun. But also when we're home and we're going through something, okay? When we were on our malaria deathbed, it wasn't fun, but there was joy. There's a difference, and that's where God wants to take us more and more and more. I don't want anybody to have malaria ever, okay? That was not a good time, fun time on one front, but on the other front, I wouldn't want to exchange that for anything because of the closeness, the depth of closeness. I said that once when my life was completely blown up in the early 90s. I said that to the Lord too. I never want to exchange this. One of the hardest things in my life, I truly believe, just absolute destruction, and God brought such good out of it. Others still don't see that. But the Lord didn't stop there, allowing me to go through really hard times, different times, and I'm still in them. But the Lord is saying, what you are gaining by loving me, trusting me, and seeing that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is your portion, that's Holy Spirit living, that's going to bring a change for you in a way that will take you to those deepest, darkest places in the world that were promised to you. And everyone who wants to go that direction, he's really doing it. But the choices that we have to make really involve our own comfort and our own preferences. It's really true. Jesus, what do you say about this? It's not that this isn't bad. This is bad stuff. But what do you say? What are you trying to do in my life for this day? I knew you'd put me in there, God. I knew that you would have to deal with me somehow. Okay? Well, I'm just in process. Yes, our process in getting to know Papa, getting to know Jesus, getting to know the Lord so much, so strongly is our life. But, you know, it's a relational kind of thing. We're in love. My husband and I are in love with each other. And I know people who love me here, I can feel it. You say you love me, That's one thing. But when you feel it on the other side, there's a reciprocation, that then it's real love. It's not just kind of love. There's real love. It's different. And I know you know what I'm talking about, because that is the way it is with Jesus. He knows our motives. He knows why we give. He knows why we support. He knows. He knows. He knows every motivation of our heart. We don't even know sometimes. We just want to do it right because we love Jesus. But he knows what the real motivation is when we have an eternal perspective. When we have when we're living, in light of eternity, in every decision that we're making, because we're going to be finished with this life, guys. And we're going on to be with Jesus. We are going on, and we are going to rule and reign with him. But I'm telling you what, I was watching a video the other day, and someone, I'm actually going to show part of it, someone actually said, you know, when this bring heaven to earth stuff was talked about, it's not that it's not scriptural, it's in the Lord's Prayer on heaven and on earth as it is in heaven. But what does that really mean? What does that really, really mean? Some people believe, well, that it's all the supernatural side, and it's all happy family, and it's all, you know, woohoo! That's heaven on earth. Is that really what God promised us? Or is he saying, bring me into every circumstance and every situation? And when I heard that from that person, and I thought, wow, that's pretty strong. And this is a strong leader in the body of Christ. So it's like, wait, your mind is going, wait, this is challenging. Everything that I watch on Facebook and everything that I post, because I need to be happy. I need to be at peace. I need to be comfortable. But sometimes, or many times, I believe the Lord is speaking to us differently. And he's saying, your happiness is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the joy. And I'm talking about what I want to do in light of eternity in your life to bring you to that point to receive joy, to ask for joy, receive joy, and that faith starts rising. It's our faith that's given to us. God gives it to us. We can't give ourselves faith. But when that faith is inside of, when that faith is inside of us, then the deeper we go into the heart of Jesus Christ, then that faith is released. I'm going to put a few verses up here to start, and then I'm going to show you a couple clips here. And can we put the Matthew verses up here? Because I want to talk about fasting in verse form. I want you to think about three things in fasting. So if we can put our Matthew verses up. I really believe that the Lord is calling us in the season that we're in, because he's coming soon, to get to a point where we're longing for the bridegroom. We're just longing for him, because he tells us in the scripture that there's no need to fast when you're with the bridegroom. I mean, the disciples, why would they fast? I mean, they're right there. They look into his eyes. They see him. They feel him. They walk with him. They talk with him. They make mistakes with him. He didn't. But there's no need to fast. But when you know the bridegroom is not there, so to speak, in that respect, we're longing for him to come back. And that longing, it says the spirit and the bride say, come. That's something that God wants to grow in us. How does that happen? We've got to do whatever it takes to position ourselves to get that close to Jesus, to be able to grab the rest of what we're saying here about faith, about suffering, about our lives, okay? About his plan, what he's saying, about power that he wants to release in our life. When Jesus was... when he was with the disciples and they weren't able to cast out a demon in a little boy, remember? And they were saying, Master, I don't know, what do we do here? And he says, oh, ye of little faith, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Okay, so if we read that verse and go, yep, that's for those people who really want to get serious about deliverance. That's for them. No, it's for us, because Jesus says, I want you to fast. He doesn't say if you want to. He says when you fast. When you fast, just like when you give, when you serve, when you lay down, when you deny yourself, when you fall in love with me more and more, okay? When you fast. So all of those are in the scripture. We put them together, and they come together where we want to step in and know this bridegroom in such a way that we can't wait for him to come back, because we understand what's going to happen after he comes back to us. through us, in us, and in the future. We're going to understand what it means more and more that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I just want to take a look at these because we are going to be talking more about fasting. This has been a house that has started out that way. Many still do. Others, I don't think so, honestly. I don't have a fasting, you know, paper or anything like that. But I just believe that God is saying, you need to be speaking about this because my kids don't get this. And some might be turned off. Well, that's that kind of church, they fast. It's just, this is the full counsel of the Lord. He's just telling us, hey, I'm here inside. I want you to come in close to me. And I'm going to teach you more about what discipline looks like. Discipline, which we read in Hebrews chapter 12, is training. The Lord is training us for reigning, okay? And so there might be times where the Holy Spirit just says, hey, MP, I want you to start fasting. When? Right now. He does that to me. And then there are other times where there are appointed times that are more structural in the sense that, you know, this would be good to do whatever time he gives. Or here's a 21-day fast we're going to do, or a 40-day fast, or whatever we're going to do. We're going to get into, we're going to understand more and more. And I'm telling you, when we study the Word, and God does have good books out there, there are some that are better than others regarding fasting, and we've talked about them here, offered them here, and have some of them here. Really encourage you to do that. But it definitely goes against the flesh, which is why God wants us to do it. But anyhow, there's many reasons why, so I just want to get those out there. Okay, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance, so they will be noticed by men. And as I'm reading, just flip it, yeah. When they are fasting, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Okay? But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done, and he will reward you. Okay, Matthew 6. This is 16 through 18, and this is the area in the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord is telling us that he is wanting us to see that? Reward you. This is a different way of looking at God. He's rewarding us for our falling in love with him. Can you believe this? I mean, what kind of God does that? Not Buddha, not any other false God. But he rewards us because he says, you shall love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love, but it's about the deeper things in love with him that will propel us to actually run and say, God, forgive me, because I have not loved here. I have not. I have made excuses for myself. I've made you too small in my eyes. Forgive me, Jesus, forgive me. I just want that real closeness to return. And it's going to be seen in the love for others. It's going to be seen with a worldview for the nations. It's going to be seen because it's Jesus' heart. It is. Okay? It's just the way it is. There's a result. We didn't write the book that there's this result. But we're very heady people in the West. We just are. I'm one of them. We're like this. And we try to analyze and try to figure everything out. And God is saying, if you'd really put your agenda down and put it, let me put it together, there would be a whole different way of looking at things. He might be saying something so unique to each one here after this message that you're gonna say, no, that wasn't God. Matthew 9, 14 and 15. You mean to put those up? Then the disciples of John came to him asking, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Okay? All right, let's take a look at Matthew 17, 19 through 20. This is the example I was giving you after the transfiguration. Jesus encountered, and the disciples encountered this man with his son, and they couldn't get rid of the demon. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. Ooh. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now think about this. If Jesus is speaking to us and telling us that we can speak to a mountain and command it to be removed, speak to it, and it shall be cast into the sea, and we'll have those things which we say, and they shall come to pass, which is what he's referring to here, then how does that happen? And when does that happen? We know why it happens. And what happens when it doesn't happen? How are we to look at things? What does God say? He speaks to us about our faith. We're learning more about real faith. Real faith. Real faith. What is faith? It's the opposite of fear, but what is faith? And the Lord will take us more deeper, into faith to understand. It's more than just casting out a demon. But the Lord says, you want something. There's going to be a cost of intimacy for intimacy to grow in me. And you need to spend time with me, and I'm going to show you the deeper ways. It's not hard to lay before the Lord, put on some soaking music. That is not hard. It is not. It's good. It's really good, and we need to, and we need to grow. But it doesn't cost us anything. We really, except I could be out jogging. Okay, maybe that's the first thing that we think. We should never stop. We should always be in that soaking, receiving mode. But it always has with it a release to do, to go. Always. We soak and we go. We soak and we do. So in that time where we're really intimate with the Lord is telling us, I'm going to do something so spectacular inside of you. You're going to know me in a way you've never known me before. And that's why I think the enemy has stolen fasting from some people in this house, and some who maybe are new and never really thought about it. Maybe they just didn't know about it. But I believe that God is saying, I want to return that to our hearts. Okay, not as the law, but as life. The Lord really, really wants us to be able to see in Scripture, not just quote what happened to Moses and Elijah, but to see from their lives that the Lord was really serious about them and their patterns for us. And it's not just, well, that's the Old Testament, and Jesus is perfect theology, so forget them. That's not true. Otherwise, we shouldn't even talk about the Old Testament. But we need to understand the bigger picture with Jesus and what's going to happen when he returns, and what's going to happen also in the future when we're with him forever. That's where he's taking us, because we have him now. So when we have the Old Testament scriptures about healing, they're still good. Jesus didn't say, forget the Old Testament, okay? He said, they're still right. They're still good. There's still truth. But you're going to hear something in just a minute from, you know, Heidi Baker. It's Roland. It's her husband. And Roland's going to be speaking about some things that he is sharing actually at a conference in Australia back in November. Well, for number of years, Roland lost his mind. I don't know where it went, but it wasn't God. It wasn't pretty. And this is a guy who has given his life and heart to Jesus. Very, very hard. Very tough. And so one time we were at a Voice of the Apostles with him. He was there kind of dazed a little bit. I don't know why us, but we're sitting there and standing there, and we said, Roland, do you want us to take you somewhere? And okay. So we took him to another building, and he's in the back seat of our car, and he wasn't quite there yet. He's a very brilliant man, but he was speaking, and I remember a couple of things that he said, and I just remember thinking to myself, this man is really suffering. And there are other things that I'm not talking about here that I do know that others may or may not know, but anyway, it's been really rough, but he's fully restored. He contended for healing and deliverance, and others did too. So understand that when you hear what he's saying. He's talking about the full counsel of God's word. He's talking about faith, because what happens is when we say, Lord, I want to be in your presence. I want to live in your presence. I want your presence. The Lord says, really? Watch what happens. How could Pastor Jacob in India be incarcerated in horrible dungeons and prisons for 3.5 years, suffering and persecuted? He didn't ask for that. But the joy that was given to him as a result of that kind of suffering was incredible. I mean, you just look at that and go, I don't understand that, do you? But that's what God does. So there's a place for that that we need to understand. We don't go look for it. He didn't want to have his home blown up with all those kids that were rescued out of the brothel. He didn't want that at all. Who would want that? And so we're praying and fasting and praying and contending and praying and declaring and decreeing in a good way and saying, God, that mountain's got to be removed. And we're still doing that because he's out on bail. Okay? But what God deposited in him and others who are understanding more about the nature and the character of God in the midst of, just speak the word and it will happen. In the midst of, well, I decreed and declared 25 things over my marriage, so they'll come to pass someday. Well, there's also a place where our faith is tested and our faith is tried. And the Lord will say, just go lower to come into a place with me. It's not about the promise. We'd like to see that promise. But there's a reason why Hebrews chapter 11 was actually in the scriptures. It's not to say, those guys missed the boat. Now we've got Jesus. No, but Jesus is a new and better covenant. But what's going to happen here and how we see the Lord, and to quote him, one thing that he was talking about in Hebrews chapter 12 was that there is both the kindness of God and the severity of God, and it's all love. It's like, whoa. That means that God might take one of you in here and throw you up against a wall. And you think, that wasn't very nice. Holy Spirit's a gentleman. But whatever God does with that, because he's God and we're not, will produce something, will produce great fruit, will produce amazing joy, will produce righteousness, peace, and joy in that order if it's needed. It's kind of like, don't limit God because he's big. I realized when I was on that deathbed, okay, and my family was coming in to say goodbye, you're going to die. They were told that anyway. And then one of my kids there at the time said, you will not live, or you will not die. You will live and declare the works of the Lord. Wake up and grab that, Mom. Okay? I don't even remember it. But the thing is, I couldn't do anything. I was incapacitated. I couldn't even breathe on my own. I could not do a thing. And you guys are just praying and warring for me. I'm forever grateful, and others too. But what God showed me about his nature and his character, and when I asked him before I was in Lululand somewhere, and I said, what is happening to me, Papa? He said, you are dying, but you will not die. I heard those words. That's all I needed. It's like, okay, la la da da da. I guess that's okay, right? I just didn't even worry about it or think about it at that time. That spoke to me. But that's where I was in 2009. Where does he want me to be in 2018? What does he want my faith to look like in 2019, 2020? You see, take what God has done and build on it and look forward to the future and think, God, I have got to go lower for you. There's always a place that's lower, always. Always a place that's deeper, always a place that's lower. If we ever stop with that and we say, you know, I'm just you know, taking my time. Well, you can take your time, but it affects you and it affects a lot of people. So we want to be on God's time because I think he's ramping up. He's saying, if you'll take your will and give it to me, I won't smash it. But I'll take your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I'm not saying don't use it, but let me super energize it and supernaturalize it completely. What would you do if somebody came to you and you didn't know something was not the best for your kids, but it was pointed out to you in the scripture somehow? This just came to me. Would you go into defense mode? You don't know my child. You don't know my ways. You don't know. What if the Lord would send someone to you to say, hey, have you ever thought about this? There's another way or something. You know, God uses people. What would you do? Where would your defense mechanisms be? Not just kids. Think of spouse. Think of yourself, whatever it is. We have a good relationship that way because we're really able to do that with each other. We love. What did you say? What did you mean by that? I don't think that's right. Yes, it is. The Lord's saying. Oh, Jesus. Let's go watch this first clip. There's two clips, okay? And there is more where this comes from, but it's pretty good. This is Roland Baker, and he's in Australia, and his mind is completely back, by the way. The first one would be the one I gave you, Andy. Okay, can you flip the lights off, guys? Pardon? That's okay. It's going to be good. I would love to also, depending on the time here, I don't know how much time we're going to have to get into this, but I would like you guys to look up some verses for our next little time together, and those are in Daniel. Have you marked this down? I'll see if I can get to them today. But Daniel, oh my, Daniel is so good. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, and then Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, and 12 through 14. So looking at me doesn't help. It's good for you to write it down. So if you could, that would be great. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, and 12 through 14. Thank you, Jesus. And I can talk more about that later. Just let me know when it's ready. We're ready? Okay. This is in Australia in November. With the sound up, guys?
That beautiful chapter on faith heroes in 11, chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's faith. When you have real faith, things happen.
You put it up a little bit, please.
Yeah, but no. What if God doesn't show up and he doesn't answer my prayer and I can't see him and nothing happens, you know? But I still have faith. I've heard many people say, I had faith to move mountains when I prayed for this sick person, but God just didn't want to do it. Or many people say, don't tell a sick person when they're not healed that they don't have faith. That just crushes them. Well, what are you supposed to say to them? I know you had faith. God just didn't want to do it. What kind of theology is that? Real faith, you know, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've had faith missionaries get up in front of people and say, I just want you to know that I'm living by faith, you know, I'm living by faith, you know, just remember, I'm living by faith, I don't have any salary, I am just living by faith, and so what they're doing is raising an offering. It's almost as though the definition of living by faith means you don't get anything. That's not faith. If you're really living by faith, that means you're getting something. That make any sense? Faith has power. Faith has results. And you can't pretend. You can't pretend just by standing on a verse and declaring something. That doesn't make it faith. Unless it's real. Unless it's given by God to you. We're to think soberly according to the measure of faith God has given every person. You can't manufacture it. You can't. Now, see, that's another thing. The charismatic movement, once they get exposed to the world of the supernatural, they get eager and anxious to experience more supernatural. They get so eager and anxious for it, and they make the supernatural such a focus of their affection that they start inventing doctrines, just inventing teachers that are not in Scripture at all. Because they're trying to be more popular, more effective, make it work more, but it doesn't actually have the result. It's more smoke and mirrors. And so we have all kinds of teachings about how to say things out loud and how to declare certain things and how to learn certain things. And For instance, if you, they tell testimonies of how someone was blessed by giving away all their money, and then they tell people, you know, if you do the same thing, you'll get the same return, and they just, it's supernatural hogwash. God knows why you're giving. He knows your motive. You can't fool him. It's not a business transaction. It has to be real generosity that he gave you. Anything that doesn't come from the Spirit is not the real thing. So people teach how to be prosperous. That's the biggest that's the biggest subject in American not Pentecostalism so much as just the, almost, I don't know what this whole new prosperity, success, favor movement is, should be called. But but the emphasis is on using the power of God for your own purposes. Trying to get the power and then use it to be amazing, successful, on top, you know, favored, blessed, protected from all evil opposition. It's a whole new stream. It's actually almost a whole new gospel where you don't have to prove your faith. You don't have to demonstrate it, or especially your love for God. You're supposed to learn how to acquire these things to obtain all the blessings that Jesus purchased for you. Which is not the atonement at all. I very rarely heard in a renewal conference a detailed exposition of what the atonement was. Atonement was not just a rich uncle buying your Disneyland ticket for you. It's our Almighty God actually becoming our sin, taking on our sin, becoming our sin, and then getting punished for it. That idea of penal substitution is one of the most unpopular things in theology today, especially as open theology is emerging and universalism and political correctness and all these things are emerging in the charismatic movement. What is the atonement? What did Jesus die for? What is Christianity? Some of these most basic things are now at question in what we call the renewal. And I'm just kind of briefing you. I mean, I think part of my purpose here is just to brief you on the world that you're getting into. It's getting so serious that I actually think we need something like a third reformation and just get back to Jesus. Understate the miracles, understate the prosperity, understate all of these things, because they're not the point. They're the result. You know, there's things we need. Yeah. Supernatural gifts are like tools that God gives us to love people. But it's people we're supposed to love, not the tools. I've been in meetings where something's
to watch, we're going to watch another one too, short one. I just wanted to drop a few nuggets in there to drive home some things that we've been preaching here and standing for here. And this is just more of a confirmation maybe to be thinking about Jesus in where we are right now in our life, because he is calling us to a place of depth. For us, it's not just having the perfect family. It's just not. Okay? It's not that family is most important. And anytime I say that, it rubs people the wrong way because they think I'm against family, or they could. And that's not true. But Jesus, really, close intimacy with him has to supersede any relationship, any comfort even that we have. And that's what he demands from us. Okay? And family and everything, these are all wonderful expressions. Just like miracles and praying for healing, all of that. Those are wonderful expressions of Jesus. And there is an atmosphere that can be created where healings would happen. Who would think that even Tuesday night, when we're singing out our love for Jesus individually, when our focus came into a place where people were brought into Jesus, this is about you and I together, and we're corporate, that he would do something so supernatural across the ocean. He wants us to be healed. He wants this place to be a cancer-free zone. Okay? We've declared it, we've decreed it, and we've seen Mary died of cancer recently. Broke our hearts. Like, what? Why? I don't understand. She's a godly woman. You know, these are all the questions we all ask, right? I don't understand, God. He says, just go deeper in me. You're going to see what you're standing for and contending for and fighting for. Okay? For individuals, for others. But he's got his ways. And in these last days that we're approaching and in, we've really got to become closer, more intimate with him, more intimate than before. Me first, all of us. And examine, allow him to examine all of our thinking, all of our motives. What are we doing, what we're doing, everything. Because what we're doing good things here. But why do we want to go to Malone and pray? What if I can't? What if I'm not on the team and I want to be there? Talk to Brenda. I don't know. We'll figure something out. Okay, why? What's Jesus really wanting? Yeah, but I've been working so hard. I don't want to be there because it's, you know, I can't do five nights a week. Why not? Listen to Jesus. Listen to the supernatural God because he's the one that stirs us up. Well, I have to leave at a certain time. Why? Because of this. Wait a minute. Maybe Jesus has something better that you haven't seen yet. Have you thought about that? This is how I look at my own life, honestly. And there'll be people who will say, I just do not want to have a life like you. Good. Should be your life. But it should be laid down. Any of us. My life needs to be laid down more. Your life needs to be laid down more. Because that's what Jesus says to us. We can read. Just read Acts, read the early church. And that's just when everybody was getting started. Read that. Read Acts chapter, not just 1 and 2, but look at 3 and 4 and read about that. What is he saying? What does it mean to live a fasted lifestyle? What does it really look like? What does it mean to not live in light of, I just want that promise for me right now because it feels right? Are you saying you shouldn't have the promises of God? No, I'm not saying that. That's not what he's saying. They wouldn't be contending for nations, right? But we're going to be faced with situations where we have to make a decision because it just comes right down to that. Lord, what are you saying for me? I don't really want to X, Y, and Z. I know. That's why I'm putting you in this position because you can make that decision because I don't take your free will away. Love that about our God. But who said it was going to be comfortable? Tell the people in Africa that. Tell the people in India that. Do you think the West is just different? Well, we're just more favored? I want the fullness of the life that God has for me, no matter where I live, because it does mean something for eternity, guys. It means something. It is something to look at and to think about. Truly right now, and I'm thinking more and more and more about that, and I pray you are too, because this is exciting. It's exciting. This is our Jesus, and he's drawing us ever so close. Okay, let's look at the last little clip.
It needs to run like that, and that's fine, but the ministry is offering a perfect product for nothing, and you can't go back. Paul said, I'd rather die than charge for the gospel. So, even if you join the renewal and get into Pentecost, you need to realize you still need to contend for the faith once and for all delivered to the saints, and you still need to make Jesus the center of everything. And I actually think we need another reformation, like I've already said. And just get back to Jesus instead of majoring on signs and wonders and gifts and power and influence and favor and transformation and being amazing and climbing mountains, being the top and being the best. And give me a break. We just need Jesus. Lovely point. Oh, Roland, I'm so glad you came. That's a very, very nice thing. It's good to hear that for a change. Yes, yes. Yay, God. I don't know. I just pray the Holy Spirit blows you apart, you know. You know, just sit there and say, yeah, good point, but, he just captures you. That's really what happens. It's not that we struggle to please God by coming to him and saying, oh, God, you're kind of tough, you know, you kind of hide yourself, you're hard to find, you're just pretty unresponsive most of the time, and it's just so hard to get you to do something, and we have to beg and plead and persuade to get you to see things our way and have some compassion on my family and this and that. Man, you're difficult, God, but I'm going to love you anyway. We can't imagine how much we need to be thrashed and cleaned out of all that junk. It's a lifelong process to get to know God. It's a lifelong process. The only process that actually means anything. And I have people saying, yeah, but Roland, I prayed for weeks, and where is he? How long are you giving God? Oh, about 2 weeks. Well, suppose it was 2 years. Man, I've been praying for 2 years. Where's this feeling of romance I'm supposed to have? You know, things are so hard, you know, just, man, how long do I have to do this? You know, 2 years, huh? Okay, well, try Buddha. Try something else. What if it's your dying day and you've prayed your whole entire life and you didn't get a bunch of miracles like the charismatic movement advertises itself? All you have is eternity with Jesus in front of you. What if God never did anything for you miraculously like you wanted? You've got some good stuff coming. But that's the basic decision you have to make. Getting now down to what Christianity really is. You're trading this life for the next. Preaching today reverses that. I'm just warning you now, when you get into the renewal, you're going to find all kinds of preaching that says that God is here to absolutely bless you like crazy in this life. And their preaching is always, yeah, but it's both and more, you know. It's a don't wait for heaven, don't wait for all that, you know. It's just God wants to bless you right now. No, it's not both and more. It's you have to choose. That's where I differ with most of the charismatic renewal these days. And if you don't think so, you ask the wrong guy here. God may indeed bless you like crazy in this life, the way you are, and just be incredibly gracious, but he may not. He has different purposes for different people. But fundamentally, underneath that all, you need to be able to say, like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's Christianity. And yet I have heard in our own conferences, people teach, we cannot let the theology of Job trump the theology of Jesus. I'm just warning you right now. But it's the New Testament, the book of Job, the book of James that says, consider Job and the outcome of God's dealings with him. What was the outcome? He lived hundreds of years longer, twice as prosperous as he was before, had the most beautiful daughters in the land, and forever in heaven he's going to be glorified for being able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Would you take that away from him? Do you think God's being cruel and mean and insensitive and hard if he puts you through things? Do you want the best possible resurrection? The average Christian wants the best possible life on earth. And you have to decide whether you want that as your first value or the best possible resurrection. And I put that choice before you today. When you consider what the renewal is and what Pentecost is, what being full of the Spirit is, that's the choice I give you. Oh, well, that was a lovely thought, so a few extras.
Let me, can you put the light on, please? Let me read to you what he was referring to, because this could really interrupt faith for healing. And the Lord told me, which it shouldn't, the Lord told me a while ago that you have very strong faith for healing. I've given that to you. And he said, it will be tested. Someone or something will come to take that and water it down. And it happened right after that. The Lord told me that, warned me, and I heard it in a meeting. And thank God he warned me, because I listened. It's like, no, Lord, my faith for healing is strong. And I held to that. But let me draw your attention to something, because I don't think he's saying we need to go back to Job. I think he's saying that we're under new and better covenant. And if you read anything else that he's saying, he contends, people contend, his wife contends for what Jesus has purchased for us, for sure. So he's not saying that. He's not saying just roll over and say whatever, you get a bunch of boils, well, I guess God's just dealing with you, you're in trouble. No, he's not saying that. He's saying that what God did then is what God did then, but God wants to bring something through the fact that we can have relationship with him. He is Jehovah Rapha. He was Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament. He's Jehovah Rapha in the New Testament. Some people say, well, he's just dealing with us differently. Then what happens? What happens when someone is not healed? And faith is involved when Jesus says, well, only this comes out through prayer and fasting. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. All I know is when we look at the full counsel of God's word, our faith for healing, faith for deliverance should be growing stronger the deeper we go with Jesus, okay? So let me say that. But let me read to you in James, in chapter 5, it says, as an example, brethren, of suffering, this is verse 10, as example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Okay, that's what he was referring to in that comment. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick, then he must call for the elders of the church. They're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven to him, of him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, now he's talking about the brethren. Hey, brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin. These are really deep things, guys. So Roland has experienced a lot. He has seen a lot. So he is challenging mainstream charismatic thinking, if you will. He really is. He's saying just go lower, but don't stop contending for healing. Don't stop. If you read, like I said, I've read a lot of his stuff, and plus we know him. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying we'll give up and roll over and forget it. Forget these cancer-free zones. That's not what he's saying. He's grateful to have his mind back, and he knows that came from the Lord and through prayer and fasting. Okay? But he was hit really hard numbers of times. But at the same time, let's not discount God in the way that he deals with all of us while we're contending. We're not just contending for healing. We're contending for the healer. We're contending for more of him. That's the process. We want miracles. We want healings. We want supernatural. That's true. But I think what he's saying is many people are just, that's where they're living because their intimacy with Jesus isn't really there. And that's what they would miss then because Jesus says, I want you to live in light of the future, not just the now. Not the now. And that's where Roland gave that strong challenge, which I think is good. I think that's what is a challenge for each one of us to be thinking about. How am I living? Am I living in light? And you know what? By making the choice of the Lord with that kind of challenge, I believe that the Lord will take us lower and deeper in that trust for him. Mm-hmm. And it will be well with our soul. And we will expect to see. We want to see Joe getting up and being completely transformed, don't we? And above all else, we want to see Leslie and Joe go into the depths of intimacy with Jesus that he has. Above everything, but not instead, but above. And that's what he's trying to say, I believe. So let's take these messages. There's a lot of things, a lot of meat here today. A lot of things that the Lord is speaking to us today. And let's spend the time with him and let him speak to us and make these changes that we're in process for, okay? Let him make them from love. And if you've got aught in your heart against somebody, repent and ask for forgiveness. Because strain intention is sin. It just is. And it gets in the way of receiving a message like this. It really does. Because the Lord is saying, listen, it's time. If you've made a vow, I don't want to be like her, she's crazy, you need to break that vow in the power of God because it's an inner vow that will halt you from growth. Because it's not about me. I'm just a messenger. Because you can fool yourself, but it is a vow that stops and also retards our growth. Honestly. I've said it before. Some people have heard that and responded. Whether it's me, Pastor Bill, or somebody else, don't just look for, I think I'm really comfortable with that person. You're not doing yourself a favor. You want to go as low as you possibly can and keep going lower and not stop. That's just the name of it. And I believe that that is the foundation that God has for this place. These are our values, you know. And I believe that God's going to bring people in that will be able to easily, people will look to you and say, I want to be like you. I want to have a life like you. Not be that person, but I see you don't quit. You don't give up. You go lower. You forgive. You are filled with joy. You are filled with peace. You are filled with righteousness. All the things that we talked about, that's what he's talking about in the word and in our time here. So may I encourage you to really revisit fasting and let God take these truths and drive them home. It's an exciting time, isn't it? Father, I just thank you. You are so faithful. You are so faithful. You are so faithful, Lord. You love to mess us up because you love us so much. And you're calling us, Lord, into those places where we don't understand why. But it's okay because you've got our best interest at heart. You've got our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got a scroll with our name on it, a book with our name on it, and you've got purpose and plans for us today. And we say we cooperate with them today. Thank you, Lord. And tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. As we dream with you, but we have your dreams, God. And that you will unlock the very areas of our hearts and lives that just can't face what complete, radical, sold out, laid down, whatever, God, here it is, that we can't face that, that we need to, God, that we would be honest with you. Thank you, Jesus, way beyond where we've been, because you're pulling us by love. It's only through your romance, and by your word in that romance, that we'll say yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. Let it be today that these precious ones that I get to do kingdom with. I love them so much. And Lord, we lift up Joe Calhoun right now. And we thank you, Lord, that our prayers are heard in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that we expect that Joe will rise up from that wheelchair. He will be in his right mind completely in every regard. Yay! And that we will see the full turnaround for Joe. We thank you for our love for you, Jesus, and your love for Joe. We thank you for the power that's here to do that. We seek your face, God. We don't apologize for power and authority. We release our authority that you've given us in the mighty name of Jesus, and we push back any darkness that's come against him, and we release healing and deliverance power into Joe in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. And we will not stop. And we thank you, Lord, that we shall see that which we contend for in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is your power. Your power. Your power. Jehovah Mapalti, set him free. Jehovah Rapha, heal him in your name because we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, take all of us, God, and transform us into the likeness of you, Jesus. And you did everything for us, Jesus, so that we could love you and we could step in and see the greater works because we're in love with you, because you went to the Father for us. So we thank you for that, God. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you set our schedules. Thank you, Lord, that we are willing to change, that we'll be moved by this message of grace, grace and hope and mercy. Thank you, Lord. You are so good and so faithful. Let it be. Shake us up, God. You are a consuming fire. Shake us up, God. Shake us up. Shake us up, Lord. Open our eyes that we can receive and we can believe. Thank you, Lord. Let it be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Pastor Bill has a little... Not little, big, something.
While we're learning about all these things and some of the challenges from Roland, it's good to declare. It's good to decree. We just get better at what we should be declaring and what we should be decreeing. So practice declaring and decreeing the kingdom of God into existence. So I would like you to declare right now, if you would, those that want to cooperate with my desire to have you declare and decree, rather than saying you're a little teapot or itsy bitsy spider or something like that, I would like you to declare you're a raindrop. So declare that out. After I say, I am a raindrop, you say you're a raindrop. I am a raindrop. Okay, that was a weak raindrop. I think we can do better than that. Be a vibrant raindrop. Be a splishy, splashy raindrop. I am a raindrop. And raindrops are part of storms. Deluges. Floods, rivers, they go into the sea. They feed the sea. So I am a raindrop. But I'm not insignificant. I'm really a flood in the making. So last week when I talked about the flood, you can stop declaring now. You did very well. But last week when I was talking about, you know, an axe, a flame of fire, and if you haven't heard that message, I declare over you. Hear the message, along with today's message. I don't often say that about my own messages, but I need to listen to that one again because it was challenging to give it. I want to live it, and so I need to hear it again. But I talked about the flames over each person, a tongue of flame over each person in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit was brought for each of us to experience him, and each person was a flame, and when they went out with those flames together, out into the streets, 3,000 people came to know the Lord in one big evangelistic outreach. But all they did was go in the street with their flames, and they put the flames together, and an entire group of people very quickly came to know the Lord, the beginning of the New Testament church. So we have an opportunity for Brazil. We're going to Brazil next month. And your raindrop or your flame, however you want to look at it, can become part of other flames and raindrops. You might be a small raindrop as part of this process of prayer and financial help. Or you might be a large raindrop in that process. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to be. I'm not telling you, you have to be a big raindrop, or you're just a drip, okay? I'm telling you, Holy Spirit will tell you how big a raindrop to be, but you are a raindrop. So whether you financially sow into this or you pray into this, you're going to have this card as a reminder. It says pledge card on it, but we should have put pledge and prayer card on it, because we know, as Roland knows, that prayer is just as important as the financial aspect of it. It does say on here that 10 powerful team members will be going to Brazil. Think of that. It sounds like a tithe to me. You are tithing a team for a couple of weeks and a couple of pastors for maybe even a bit longer than a couple of weeks so that Brazil will be changed. You don't want to miss out on being part of that, either by prayer or by financial help, by a pledge, whatever. But I want each person to have one of these, each adult to have one of these, so that you can put it in a place you'll see it often. These beautiful children on here are part of why we're going to Brazil. We will be with children in the favela. And the favela, you know, we can describe it as a horrible, terrible, terrible, terrible place. It is that. It has lots of evil there, but these precious ones are also there smiling and giggling and laughing, and they have lives there, and they have hurts, and they have dreams that are taken from them, and all kinds of things happen in the favela. But I'm telling you that Frontline has a fire beginning in the favela. We have a worship center there, and we expect that that flame will grow brighter and brighter. You don't want to miss out on being part of that if you're part of this fellowship. You want to be part of the flame burning there. You want to be part of the river, the flood flowing there. And so you can do that by financial support and prayer. You can do that by prayer alone. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it, and you'll be a full part of what you're supposed to be. You'll be the raindrop you're supposed to be, big or small. You'll be the flame of fire you're supposed to be to add to the rest of the fire that's going to be in Brazil. So if each adult has this, put it in a place where you often look. If you're a person that looks in the mirror a lot, put it on the mirror. And you might be thinking about that a little bit. There's an extra, you know, if you look at this, it's on your mirror and you look at this a lot, there might be another message there for you. If it's on your refrigerator and you happen to see that like 15 times a day and you're not just passing by, there's a message there for you that you know, the refrigerator is one of your friends, one of your really good friends. So I would put this in a place that you notice that you look at a lot and then take the extra message from Holy Spirit from that. Why do I look at that place a lot? If it's your purse or your wallet, kind of big for a wallet, but I have a man purse, so it fits in mine. You know, if you have a place that you look a lot, put this, because these children's faces, I believe, are going to be starting to be seared into your conscience and your heart. Because those children there are from Brazil, and some of them have grown up, some of them are following Jesus, some aren't, even though we ministered there. There's a need to keep going back. Well, why don't we just go once and drop the seed and run home and stay here where it's comfortable? Well, you heard Rollin. There's a price to pay in going. But it's a joy price. It's a price of joy. When we go there, it's not hard. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not that hard. Because the Holy Spirit kicks in with the love we need, the compassion we need, and all the signs and miracles and wonders that we need in order to love these precious children. And they are the focus. We don't go there just to see signs and wonders. We go there to see people. And we go where they are, the neediest. And so pray for us. Pray for the team. Pray for yourself to have the compassion of Jesus for these ones, because who knows what time God will choose for you to go if you're not going on this team or you haven't been to Brazil. He may choose you to go to Brazil. You say, well, I don't know about that. That's what we all said. Brazil, really? Yep, Brazil. And we ended up there, and it's on our heart now. And those that are new on the team and haven't been to Brazil, they are very excited, because every person that's been there tells them what it's like, and they're like, why does it have to be two and a half more weeks before we go? So when you run into one of those people and they have fire in their eyes for Brazil, well, you haven't been to Brazil, have you? I have a fire put in my heart by the Holy Spirit for Brazil. I can't wait to get there. See, there's no feeling sorry for the team members. Sorry, don't even do it. We are blessed beyond blessing to be going. We can't wait to get there and love on those children, love on the adults. They're in such needy situations. It's our joy to go. Become part of that fire going to Brazil in whatever way Holy Spirit tells you to. Thank you, Father. We bless your plan for Brazil this year in March. God, let the favela be set on fire. The fire that you want to spread on the earth, spread it to the favelas, God. You've done it in the past, and the drug trade has gone down in the one favela we've been in the longest. Thank you, Jesus. People are getting changed. The place is getting changed, and the country is hearing about it. And Father, now the one city of God where we have the worship center, God, we need that one changed. There are precious lives there that deserve a safe and spirit-filled environment. God, it starts in their little hearts in many cases, and in the hearts of the adults that are willing to come out in front of the drug dealers, in front of the prostitutes, and worship Jesus. And as that flame grows in the city of God, it will be transformed. It will be transformed. And God, we know that's your heart. Because transforming people transforms neighborhoods, transforms cities, transforms countries. We thank you for that fire that we carry in our own hearts. You've put it there. We're not very good at building fires. You're great at it. So, Father, thank you for doing that in our hearts. And we pray that every person here will be part of the fire. And every person here will be part of the flood. Because we're all together. We need one another. We need the senders. We need the ones that are praying. We need the ones that are fasting. We need the ones that are going. God, we work together, and we know we all have a part in this. We give you praise for what you're doing in Jesus' name. And we expect in Jesus' name. I am a raindrop. I'm part of a flood. May it be your experience in Jesus' name.
10 seconds. We're forming the team to go to Mozambique for the summer. And so most of you know about it. If you don't know about it, we're forming the team. So I think Jamie gave the February 19th is the date to say, yes, I'm going to be part of that. Some of you might be going to Brazil, and the Lord might say, you know what? You're not going to imagine what I'm going to do for you. You're also going to go to Mozambique. Don't be closed to that, because God is God. Honestly, if you don't let money stop you, listen to the Lord. Listen to what he's saying. And maybe you're not. I'm just saying, go to the Lord with this message today and let him speak to you, and then act and move on it. God bless you guys. Thanks for the enduring, the long message. Amen. God bless you.